The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
I want to welcome everyone here this evening for this shiur for Chag HaShavuos. We have a Mishnah. In the last perek of Masechet Avos, Mishnah Zayin, although in the different texts, the numbers of the Mishnayos are not always the same. Also, the last perek, the last chapter, Perek Vav, is actually not really part of Masechet Avos, of Ethics of Our Fathers. It is known as Kinyan Torah. It's a chapter which was added and speaks of the Milas HaTorah, the greatness of the Torah. It's also from our sages of the Mishnah. And it tells us, Gedol HaTorah Yesu Min HaKuna U'min HaMalchus, that although the Klal Yisrael were given three crowns, the crown of Torah, the crown of Kuhuna, of priesthood, and the crown of Malchus, of royalty, and the crown of priesthood was given to Aaron and his children. No one else can be a Kohen. And the crown of Malchus, the kingship, was given from the time of Dovra Melech, King David, to he and his descendants. No one else can be an official king of Klal Yisrael. The crown of Torah was given to everyone. Whoever wants can come and take from it. Now, Gedol HaTorah Yesu Min HaKuna Min HaMalchus. Even though we might think that the other crowns, since they are exclusive, and something that's exclusive is usually more important. Now, Torah is a greater crown. How do we know? Shehamalchus Dignes B'Shleishim Milus V'Kahuna Be'Esrim V'Arba. In order to be a king, there are 30 attributes that one needed. In order to be a kohen, there are 24. HaTorah nignes b'mem ches dvorim. If you want to acquire a Torah, you need 48 attributes. And the Mishnah lists all 48. And it's been for many years now that we've given shurim on this Mishnah. Generally, many times, about this time of year, that we're speaking of the greatness of the Torah, and Kinyan HaTorah, the acquisition of Torah. And we have a whole series, where every year we added a few of these attributes. I'd like to do the same this evening. And we're up to Lamed Zayin, the 37th attribute. This evening I would like to speak about the 37th and the 38th. Those who are interested in hearing the shurim and the others, they can find them in our tape department by our tape index. The 37th attribute is v'lei megis libei behiro. That means that a person is not arrogant in the rendering of Torah decisions. One must make mention. Torah is not an academic pursuit or an intellectual pursuit. Or we should say it's not merely an academic and intellectual pursuit. But to acquire Torah, which is the Chem de Genuza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the most precious jewel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'yistakul bi ubara alma. And the Torah exclaims that the Almighty, the Creator, looked into me, and from me He created the world. I was the blueprint of the world. So it's not an academic pursuit that if one applies himself to, usually he can acquire it. But he needs there are many more conditions for one to be qualified to be a Talmud Chacham, to be a person who has acquired Torah. And the fact is there are 48 conditions. So here we're speaking of one Megis Libe Behera, that he is not arrogant in the rendering of Torah decisions. The text of which the Maral Miprag brings is like stated. In other texts, it states Le Megis Libe Betalmud Ve'enesemeach Behera. Divides this into two, where he's not arrogant in his studying of Torah, and he does not derive joy from his rendering of decisions. But from Rashi, it seems more like the text of the Maral, and this is what we'll follow this evening. And the Maral brings in his commentary that someone who is arrogant in the rendering of Torah decisions, which means right away he'll give answers. Someone asks him a question, a shaila, he answers immediately. He doesn't deliberate over it. He doesn't think about it too much. And to himself he feels, look, I know what this is all about, and I can answer immediately, and I don't need any further deliberation or study or so forth on it. When I bring such a person, is a sheita, a rosh, of a gas ruach. He's a sheita, he's a fool. He's a rosh, he's a wicked person. And Gas Ruach is an arrogant person. Now, why does the Maral take him to task in such an extreme measure? Actually, he's just quoting another Mishnah. There's another Mishnah in Perek Dalet of Obis, Mishnah Zayin. And that Mishnah states, Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yesi, said, he's speaking about someone who withholds judgment. But then he says, someone who is arrogant and too quick in judgment is a shaita rosh v'gas ruach. He's a fool, he's a wicked person, and he's an arrogant person. Now, we can understand why he's arrogant, but why is he called a fool, and why is he called a wicked person? The explanation is as follows. Someone who has this attitude, he holds himself equal to the level of the Torah. If he's quick to answer, quick to give a decision, so he feels that he has a total understanding of the Torah, and he's on the level of the Torah. And this is the antithesis of Chochmah, of wisdom. And this is a shtus godl. This is a great stupidity, because he is not understanding something which is very, very basic. He is not understanding that the Torah comes from the Olam HaElyon. The Torah comes from another world, and he lives in this world. The Torah comes from a world which is timeless, Olam HaNetzach, a world Beli Gvul, Beli Gashmi, a world which is not physical at all, and therefore it has no physical parameters. It's free of even the parameters of Mokom Uzman, like we spoke about recently, of place and time. While he lives in a world which is totally physical and totally submits itself to limitations and to the boundaries of everything physical and to time and place. And therefore, how can one think that I have a total understanding of Torah, that I know it immediately? If we're speaking of a physical wisdom, a physical science, one can say I've reached the level where I am a master of it. I can teach it in my sleep. But when it comes to Torah, no matter how long one has studied Torah, how can he ever master it when Torah is from one world and he's from another world? They say the joke that this was not something that was common in Lithuania. This was common in other places, because in Lithuania they very well understood this. But in other places, that a village of simple people, and they brought in a Rav, and this Rav used to sit and study every day, and he'd study late into the night. So they came with a complaint. What kind of Rav is this? We want someone that's qualified. The fact that he's spending all his time studying shows he's not qualified yet. But this is something that was not said in Lithuania, because there they understood. When it comes to other wisdoms, you can master it. When it comes to Torah, one can spend his entire life studying the Torah. But he can never master the Torah, because it comes from another world. A very blatant illustration of this is from David Melech Israel, King David, where in his Tehillim, in Kufyud Tes, there he praises the Torah with the Aleph Beis. In Os Gimel, when he praises the Torah with the Gimel, he praises it 8 times with each letter. He says, Ger Anochi Ba'oretz, I am a stranger in the land. Al Taster Mimeni Mitzvashecho, and therefore he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do not conceal from me your mitzvahs. And in the Medrash Shochetov, the Medrash Antihilam, asks, what did David HaMelech mean? Ger Anochi Ba'oretz, I am a stranger in the land, and therefore do not conceal from me your mitzvahs. Vechi David Ger Hayo, was David a stranger? Was David a convert? Eloma David, David said, Kishem Sham is Gayer, Eni Yadea Klum B'Torah. Just like when a new person comes to Klal Yisrael, a Ger, a convert, he knows nothing of the Torah. Kach Einov Shal Odom, Pesuchais Ve'Eni Yadea Klum. So is it with every person, even if he's not a stranger. When it comes to Torah, his eyes can be wide open, but he still knows nothing of the Torah. And the Medrash says, Umar David Melech Israel, and if David, the king of Israel, said this, Sheomar kamoshirim v'sizboches v'kol ha'mizmorim halolu, and David HaMelech, how many songs did he write, and how many praises did he write, and all of the mizmorim, all of the Tehillim he writes, which the Tehillim is full of Torah and of wisdom and of the greatest secrets. Omar Geronechi Ve'eni Yadea Klum. He said, I am but a stranger when it comes to Torah, and I know nothing of it. Onu Alachas Kama Vakama. Then we cannot compare ourselves to the shoes of David HaMelech. How much more so? And this that David said, that he is but a stranger in the land, Ger Anochi, he didn't only mean that he's like a person that comes to a new land. In Yiddish, this was always called a greener. A person comes to a new land, and he always feels, when he's with the natives of that land, he always feels like a newcomer. Why? Because they know everything about the place. Well, he doesn't know anything. He gets on the roads and he gets lost. And every time he tries to go to a different place, he has to ask directions and so forth and so on. The same is it in Torah.
But he meant something else also. The Maharal says something very deep. He said, why does a newcomer, why does he always feel a stranger? Because the others have been there so much longer than him. The others are there. They are there. Their parents were there. Their grandparents were there. This is why he always feels like a newcomer. He says, therefore, in Torah, we are all newcomers. Because Torah comes from a world, an olam ha-netzach, from a world that is beyond time. And we come from olam ha-shor, and we come from a very temporary world. Even if one devotes years to the Torah, he's always a newcomer when it comes to Torah. Because by Torah there's no time. If you want to talk of time, it was created over 900 generations before the world was created. But there is no time by Torah. It was forever. And we come from a world which gives us very, very little time compared to a timeless eternity. So therefore we are all newcomers when it comes to Torah. Therefore, David HaMelech said, Ger Anochi Bo'oretz, I am but a stranger in your land. Al Taster Mitzvisecho Mimeni, do not conceal your mitzvahs from me. And he prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal some of his Torah to him. And that's how one must approach Torah. Therefore, the sages commanded us, and it's interesting, because this command, which we'll mention now, is the very first instruction that's found in the Masechet Avos. The first Mishnah tells us, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. That Moshe received the Torah from Sinai, and he handed it down, and it came to the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the men of the Great Assembly. And they instructed us on three great things. And the first one they instructed us was heavy mesunim bedin. That when it comes to giving judgment, in particular with a deen is judgment between two people in a litigation. And it comes to give judgment, heavy mesunim. Mosun means patient. Be very patient. Do not judge quickly. And the Gemara brings in Sanhedrin, Minohani Mili. From where do we know this halacha, this law, Hevi Meshunin Bedin, that when we give judgment, we must take a lot of time to deliberate, even if we say we know the halacha. Slowly, let's go very slowly. The Gemara brings a strange proof. Because at the end of Parshas Yisro, it states, "V'leisale b'malos al mizbechi," that when you make a mizbeach for me, my altar in the Beis Hamikdash, do not make steps. Because if you make steps, then one can take a psia gaso. When you have steps, so people take big steps. You have to take big steps, otherwise you can't climb from one step to the other. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that's not the way to approach my altar. The altar was very high. By taking big steps, you must take very, very small steps. How can you take very, very tiny steps and have steps going up? Therefore, you must make it with an incline, a smooth incline, where one can approach the Mizbeach, the altar, with very, very small steps. So the Gemara says, just like we see that one is not allowed to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mizbeach b'psia gaso with a large step, so one must not approach the giving of judgment, the deen, with large steps. And heavy mesunim bedin, he must be patient. And the explanation there is, the Maral brings this in a number of places, is because the level of the Mizbeach, of the altar, was not only physically high, it was spiritually high. And when a person wants to go into high levels into the spiritual world, it's not something you just walk up to. It's not something you jump up to. Because you are coming from a physical world and you want to climb into a spiritual world. If you jump, you fall. How do you go then? Little by little, step after step. And if that's the case, then how much more so when it comes to Torah, when it comes to the exactness of the deen, having the sunim the deen, when it comes to giving judgment, even if you know immediately, the first instruction of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah was, be patient, don't say hold back. Take your time, don't rush. Think it over, deliberate over. The more you think it over, the more you might find that you didn't know everything. That there is a new light, there's a new angle. Therefore, heavy mesunim bedin. What we're speaking about is not only relevant to Torah, where it certainly is relevant, but in general, it's relevant to Chochmah, to all wisdom. It's a Mishnah in Perikei Mishnah Zayin, where the Mishnah says, Shiva Dvorim Begalem, Veshiva Bachochem. A golem, everyone knows what a golem is because the Maral made a golem famous. But a golem actually means well, the Gemara says that when you make a utensil, if you're making earthenware, so you take earth, clay, and before you give it its particular form of the particular utensil you want to make, but you have just a large mass of clay, that's called a golem. See? So a golem is a big mass of material which has not been given its particular identity yet, its particular form. Here, this Chazal are referring, a golem. A golem is someone who is like he was created, ofer min ha'adamah, he was created from the earth, but he has no wisdom. So he's like a big mass of clay. Shiva dvorim begalem v'shiva b'chochem. And we find seven particular attributes in the golem and seven in the chochem, in the wise person. It states, we're not going to go in all of them now, but in the ones that are relevant. Chochem eina medaber bifnei mishu hu godol mimenu bechochma uveminyon. The wise, they do not speak before others who are greater than them. What does it mean, greater than them? Either in wisdom or in age. That means if there's a discussion, if there's a question put on the table, they don't jump to answer, but they let those who are wiser or those who are older speak first. Then they'll say something. They do not interrupt their fellow man when he speaks. Many times we see someone is saying something and he's interrupted. This is not the midah, this is not the quality of the chochem. And they do not answer quickly. When they're asked a question, they do not respond immediately. These are three of the seven qualities. And it's just the opposite with the golem. The golem, a person that has no intelligence, has no seichel, no wisdom, he speaks up quickly, even if there are people around who know more than him or older than him. And he's nichnas l'seik divrei chaveiro. He'll speak up before the other fella has had a chance to finish what he was saying. And he's nivalohoshiv. He'll respond immediately without thinking. So we see that these are not only qualities in Torah, certainly when it comes to Torah, but in general in wisdom. It's interesting to note, I brought this out a number of times, that in our times it's just the opposite. Just the opposite. That the second case is a sign of a chochem, and the first is a sign of a galem. If you will listen to your radio, the talk shows, or television, or you'll go to any platform, they'll put an issue on the table. They'll say, tell you how many seconds you have to speak. If a question is asked, you have to respond immediately. If you don't respond immediately, then you won't be on that show anymore. They'll cut into whatever you say and whenever you say it. Who's the wise person? The one that's nivaloshi, the one that can respond immediately to any question without their thought, can respond immediately. And the one who talks the loudest and the one who interrupts the most. According to the Chazal, this is all the simonim of the golem. This is the simon, this is the sign of a galem. The chocham, heaven forbid today a chocham should be on a talk show. They ask him a question and he's silent. Yeah. They'll say he's a galem. He's not nivaloshi. This is because we do not live in a world of wisdom today. We live in a world of glomim today. This is the truth. Now, the fact is, if you, in the court of law, who's the good attorney? The one that can respond immediately. The Maral says, he says, what is the explanation of this? He says, because in general, the sages have consistently said that Marbe Dvorim, Marbe Shtus, the one who speaks the less is a sign of a wisdom, of a wise person. The one who speaks in volumes is the sign of the person without seichel. Marbe Dvorim, Marbe Shtus. Someone who talks too much, that's a sign of the lack of seichel, of a lack of intelligence. Lemotsosi leguf, tov leguf kishtiko. The Tanoim said, kol yomai godalti bein hachachomim. I spent all of my days growing up amongst the wise. And I found the best thing is silence. Shlomo HaMelech said, Ksil. When a fool is silent, Chochem Yechoshev, they will think he's wise. Ksil Yechoresh, Chochem Yechoshev. Just the opposite of what today's contemporary thought is. And why is that? And there's another. When in Parshas Vayishlach, when the prince of Shechem went and abducted Dinah, and he loved her and he kept her, he wanted to marry her, and he and his father the king came to Yaakov, the proposition. He said, give her to my son and we'll make a treaty and we'll live together, we'll do commerce together, it'll be good for both of us and so forth and so on, your nation and my nation. What does it say on Yaakov? Vehechrish Yaakov ad bayam min hasodah. Yaakov's sons were not there. Vehechrish Yaakov kept silent until they came. The Medrash says on that, "Ish tefuna is yachris." It brings a posuk. "Ish tefuna is yachris." The wise know when to be silent. It's not that he had nothing to say, and it's not that he didn't want to say, but he was a wise person. He kept silent. And the explanation in all of this, he says, because when a person is thinking, he cannot devote all of his concentration to talking. When a person is talking, he cannot devote all of his concentration to thinking. So we have two forces, and they are contrary to each other, because the keir hadivri, the power of speech, becomes a physical force to physically bring your thoughts into the world, and the power of the intelligence of the seichel is a non-physical force. And by someone who's always talking, or by someone who answers immediately, or interrupts people, or he cannot hold back what he has to say, even though there are people that are greater than him. What does this show? This shows that the power of speech is greater, is stronger than his power of thought. And therefore he's a seer, he's a fool. But to the contrary, to someone who has what to say, the Chochem, it's not that he's silent because he doesn't have what to say, but to someone who has what to say, but he holds it back until he feels there's a more opportune moment. This shows that the keach hasichli, the power of the person's thought processes, are stronger than the keach hadivri, than his power of speech. This is a chochem. This is the wise person. So from this aspect, someone who's Megis Behiro, right away he wants to render the halacha, give the judgment. This is a shaita. It shows that he's a person without wisdom. And his mouth is working faster than his mind is working. Then there's another reason also, which is particular to Torah. And that is, Shlema Melech wrote in Mishlei, Yud Aleph, Vesnuim Chochma. The wisdom of the Torah will be given to those who are tsnuim. Tsnuah means a person who's concealed. Torah in particular is given over to a person who has the type of personality of a character who is known as a tsnuah, a concealed person. Very low profile, a concealed person. The one who's Mamaya Lifseik, the one who quickly talks and gives judgment, this is just the opposite of the tsanua. The tsanua is the one who holds back and only speaks when he has to, only reveals when he has to. And those who are constantly talking and hurrying, this is the opposite. This is the Midas Hagolui, rather than a Tsanua, rather than being one who conceals. The reason for this is, aside from the fact that whenever it comes to something of great value, and something of great importance, we usually find that it has an aura of concealment around it. For example, the gold, pearls, precious stones, they're found deeply concealed in the earth or in the sea. And when you keep them, you don't show them too much. You take them out on special occasions, otherwise you keep them away. And this is true, even at the worldly level. But aside from that, in particular by Torah. Because Torah, as we mentioned, where is it coming from? It's not coming from this world. The physical world is an Olam HaGolui, is a world which is revealed. Torah is coming from an Olam HaNistor, a world which is concealed, a world which is not physical and cannot be seen. And this is the character and the nature of the Torah. This is why Torah is all the time compared to yain, to wine. The wine is concealed totally in the grape. Not only it's concealed in the grape, like the juice of an orange is concealed in an orange, because the juice of the grape is not the wine. But it's concealed in the grape where the power of the wine is something which will only come to fore after it goes through its process, its alcoholic process of becoming wine. But before that, it's not even there. In other words, it's nister legamri lesecha anof. It's totally concealed in the wine, and in the grape, and it has to be brought out through a process. So is it with Torah. The wisdom of Torah is concealed, and it has to be brought out through a process. And since this is the character of Torah itself, and one can come to Torah only if he can identify with it, therefore Shlaim HaMelech, King Solomon said, Ve'asnuim Chochma. It's a tzenua. It's a person who's also like this that will inherit Torah. So, aside from the fact that we said that in general a person must realize that he can never be the master of Torah. It comes from a world beyond. It's not his world. And even if he has given himself over to Torah for years and years and years, Ger Anochi Boretz, David HaMelech said, I am but a stranger in the land. I'm a newcomer. And the quality of wisdom of a chochem is always someone of the mind over the speech. And therefore he's not mamaher lohoshiv, he doesn't respond immediately, but he says, wait, hevi mesuni medin, let me think about it. Or even if I know the answer, I want to wait. Because he realizes the great depth, and I'll see even more at a later time. But aside from that also, we are dealing here not with physical wisdoms, which are the chochmas hagluyim, which are the wisdoms which are from the revealed world. But we're dealing here with the chochmas ha-Torah, the wisdom of the Torah, which comes from the Olam HaNistor, from a concealed world, like the wine from the grape. And therefore, v'esnuim chochma, a person also has to have that quality in order to inherit that Torah. So, therefore, amamaya lifshek, amegis daitai, behayro, someone who's arrogant in rendering decisions, besides being a gasei ruach arrogant, he's also a shaita, he's a fool, and therefore how can he come to Torah? In addition, the Mishnah we quoted before states he's also a rosho, he's a wicked person, Why is he a wicked person? And that there's two reasons. One is because if he renders judgment quickly, he answers questions quickly, he should realize that maybe he's giving someone the wrong answer. And he can mislead him. And this is a rosho. He's even a ra lebrius. Not only is he a rosho to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he's a rosho to people. A person has to be very, very careful. And this is very true, and unfortunately we find in our generation not like this. When one gives advice to another person, if he's giving him advice in business, alright, he has to know business. If he's giving advice in a profession, he has to know that profession. But when one person, when one gives advice to another person in the Derech HaChaim, in the way to walk in this world, he's giving him advice in Torah. Unfortunately, we find people who know a lot of a little Torah and give a lot of advice. And this can be tragic. They can mislead people. They have misled people. The fact is, the Gemara brings that it was very known historically that there was great conflict between Beis Shammai u Beis Hillel, the house of Shammai and the house of Hillel. Great conflict, and many times bitter conflict between the house of Shammai and the house of Hillel. And it came about because they had many differences when it came to halacha, when it came to the understanding of the Torah. And the Gemara says, do you think that there was bitter conflict between Shammai and Hillel? Between such great people, there was bitter conflict. They had conflicts within the parameters of Torah, but there should be personal machlekes, personal conflict. It brings that Hillel used to, when someone would ask the halacha to Hillel, he wouldn't tell him what he held. He would say, this is what Shammai holds, and this is what I hold. And he would always give over the opinion of Shammai. And not only that, but first he would give over the opinion of Shammai, and then he would give over his own opinion. This was the great respect that they had for each other. So where did this bitter conflict in Yisrael come from, between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Said it didn't come from Shammai and Hillel. It came from the Talmidim, from the disciples of Shammai and Hillel. And what kind of disciples? Talmidim shalei simshu kol tzorchem. Disciples that had not learned enough by their rabbis. Disciples that had not studied enough. They caused great machlekes in Israel. So therefore a person has to be very careful. If he's going to give guidance in Torah, to make sure that he's up to it. And then also another reason why this person is a Rosho. Actually, the Rambam brings all of this in Yad Chazoka. Why he's a Rosho is because this is a desecration to Torah. We said in the beginning, someone who is Megis Libay Behera, he's quick to respond, he's arrogant in his response to answer the aloha questions because he feels he's a master of Torah. How can one be a master of Torah only if he equates the level of Torah with himself? This is a chilul haTorah. This is the desecration of the Torah. And this is why he's a Rosho. Because how can he take HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah and equate it to himself? When Moshe Rabbeinu went to receive the Torah, the Malachim stood up, the angels stood up, and they went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were ready for war. They wanted to kill Moshe, the Gemara tells us in Perakoma de Rabbi Kiva. And they said, Chen de Genusa, your greatest treasure you're giving to Moshe to take down to Bnei Odom, to take down to people. The Torah is the greatest treasure of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person that comes and considers himself a master of Torah is equating it to himself. This is a chilul haTorah. This is a desecration of the Torah. And therefore he's a rosho. He's a wicked person. The contrary to this we find, which we quoted just recently, that the Mishnah at the end of Masechta Sota tells us, Mishnah Meisa Rebbe Kiva bottle cover a Torah. When the great Rebbe Kiva died, the world took a step downward. In what perspective? From what aspect? From the aspect of honor of Torah. Never again did the world come to the level that it was in the honor of Torah. How do we see Rebbe Kiva honor Torah so much more than all of the other sages, that when he died the world dropped a level in the honor of Torah? So Rashi says, Shohayaderes kol kotz bekotz, that Rebbe Kiva, when the Gemara brings him an oches, that when Moshe Rabbeinu came to receive the Torah, he understood all of it, except he couldn't understand what the strokes of the letters, the crowns which are on the letters of the Torah, what do they mean? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, don't worry about this, this is not for you, this is for someone else that will be born many generations later. He'll be Dadish, he will expound the whole Torah, and he'll expound this also. And Moshe asked, who is this person? Akiva ben Yosef, Akiva the son of Yosef. Rashi says, if he expounded every stroke above each letter, then surely he held that you must expound every word in the Torah. And surely, therefore, he must have held that there was not teva achas levatola, not one word of the Torah was in vain, was superfluous. V'zeh kovod godol leTorah, and this is the greatest honor to the Torah. When we say that ein dover reik bei, there is nothing empty in it. It's like when someone speaks and he says a long speech, and you say, look, from this hour speech, 5-10 minutes he could have said everything. The rest was just hot air. When the Torah speaks, Rebbe Kiva said, every stroke of every letter of every word is telling you something. And this is the greatest kavod haTorah. And therefore when he died, and no one else could do that, do it like he did, it said, bottle kavod haTorah, the world dropped a dimension in the honor of Torah, because nobody could replace him. So now if a person comes along and says, oh, I know it perfectly, and I'm a master of the Torah, and he answers immediately without thinking, this is the desecration of Torah. Therefore he's a rosho. So this is the explanation in Eino Megis Daita Behiro. Now we have the next one, the 38th attribute, Nesei Be'olim Chaveri. Nesei Be'olim Chaveri means someone who helps carry the yoke of his fellow man. The Maral explains it as follows. Im ira dovel chaveri. If something in particular, it doesn't mean that he's always carrying the fellow man. But in ira dover lechavera, if something extraordinary happens to his friend, v'hadover alav lemaso, and it's like a heavy yoke on the person, b'tzorech havera litreyach ad shinotzel min hamaso, and this person has to exert a lot of effort in order to become free of the burden. Like example, like the Torah says that you see someone who's carrying a big pack, right? And he's working very hard to carry the big pack, so you should go and help him. A person who will go and help his fellow man, and he will put his shoulder under that pack also. This is the midah, the quality of Naisei im ol b'chaveri, where he shares the burden of his fellow man. Now, naturally, we're not only, it's not referring merely to the physical pack that the person is carrying, it's referring to the tzoros, the particular problem that a person is carrying. That when you mishtat, if you associate yourself and identify yourself to someone else's tsar, someone else's soros, and you help him through it, this is the quality of naisei ba'olim chaveri. Now the question is, what does this have to do with Torah, with Kinyan Torah? This is a wonderful quality, but why is it necessary to have this quality, to come to become great in Torah, in the learning of Torah? The Maral explains that a person who does this, we can see two midas, two character traits in him. First of all, he's an ish tov. He's a person that has goodness in him. He's going to help someone else. He's an ish tov. Secondly, we see that he's techa klal. He's a social person. He's a person who identifies himself as a social being, as a member of society, to go and help someone else. Now let's take each one by itself. Ish tov, the word tov, this always refers to something which is in its ultimate of goodness and perfection. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, and every day he said, Vayar Hashem ki tov, every day he said, it was good. Vayir vayboker, and let it be. Kodesh Baruch Hu was happy with his creation. He said it's in the ultimate of goodness. Yar Hashem ki tov, the ultimate of goodness and perfection, and therefore let it be. There was only one day, Yom Sheni, on Monday, when Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't say ki tov, it was good. And on that, the Medrash gives three reasons for it. One is because that on that day, because every day he started something, he created something and he completed it. On Monday he started to create the waters, and he only completed it on Tuesday and the third day. So therefore, it wasn't in total perfection. Tov is when something is in totality. It wasn't in totality, it was chosa. Therefore he couldn't say ki tov. That's one reason. A second reason is brought in the Medrash. Shebei Nivra Machlekes. There was a Machlekes that day. What was the Machlekes? A division. He created the waters, and then he created a Rekia, a firmament, he said, to divide between the lower waters and the upper waters. So it was a division. And there was a little Faribel also, because the water said, why should you go up and I'll go down? I'll go up and you go down. There was a whole Shiloh, who should go up and who should go down? At any rate, Machlekes is the hepech of Tov. Machlekes is the contrary of Tov. And therefore he didn't say ki Tov on that day. The Medrash says, this was a Machlekes, a division that we needed for the creation of the world. So how much more so when we make Machlekes that we don't need for the creation of the world, how much more so is that the lacking of Tov? And then the Gemara says, the Medrash says a third reason also. Shebei Nivra Gehenna, on that day Gehenna was created. At any rate, we see that the word Tov denotes ultimate in perfection and goodness. And when someone gives to others, this denotes that he has this goodness in him. Because someone who has this goodness in him has to give it to others. Many people will say, I'm very good, but they don't know good for others. That's not good. To be very good, but not do good for others, that's not tov. The acid test, if a person is good or not, is if he's been meitiv acherim, if he's giving goodness to others. It has to be mevatz beitz v'yetze. It has to go out of him. If he contains it for himself, that's not goodness. That's why the Maral always refers to the midas hachesed, the quality of doing good for others, loving kindness to others, as the tev hagomar. This is the totality of goodness. Like we see by Avraham. Avraham, if he couldn't do good for others, he became depressed. Today, depression is a big problem. Avraham also had a problem of depression. If he couldn't do good for others, he would become depressed. This is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them the wayfarers. He came and he saw Avraham was all depressed. He couldn't do good for others. This was the goodness that he had in him. Goodness has to spread. Now, we see that this is the quality of the Torah. Because by the Torah it states, Ki lekach tov nosati lochem. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Klal Yisrael, he told Moshe, tell them, it's good. Lekach tov nosati lochem. It's good. If you want to acquire Torah, you have to be able to identify with it. If the essence of Torah is good, then only a person that's also good can acquire it. And therefore he has to be an esei im ol chaverei, someone who's willing to give of his goodness to others and to share in their problems, to share in their tzoros. Actually, the Gemara Menachos and Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara says better. The Gemara says there were four taves. There were four that had the quality of goodness. When it says four, it doesn't mean to exclude, but in regards to what we're talking about. And it says, therefore, Yovei Tov, let Tov come, be Kabel Tov, and take what's good, Mitov, from someone that's good, Latovim, for someone that's good. Yovei Tov, let the one who's good come, Zemesha. By Mesha, it says when he was born, it says, Vatere Se Kitov. They saw he was good. And this is why Mesha could go up and to take the Torah. Vikabel Tov, and let him take what is good, that's the Torah. As it states, Ki Lekach Tov Nosati Lachem. Mi Tov, let him take it from someone who's good. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, Tev Hashem Lakol, Barachem Avakol Maso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good to everyone. And he has compassion for all of his creations. Latovim, and let him give it to those who are good. This refers to Klal Yisrael, that it states, Hatevo Hashem Latovim. So these are the four with the quality of goodness. Actually, many halachas we learn out of this. For example, the Rambam brings that this that the sages say, that we are obligated to, in time of need, to help everyone, not only Jews, but help non-Jews also in time of their need. Mefanes ani Yakum imani Israel. In time of their tzoros, we are obligated also to share in their burden. It states, Malavi Mesehem. They have, heaven forbid, a tragedy, you have to share in their burden. It says, you must start it with them. So the Gemara merely says, because of Darkei Sholem, ways of peace. The Rambam adds something to that. He says, Shezem Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because this is the quality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where it says, Tev Hashem LaKol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good to all, V'rachma V'akol Masuv. In other words, sometimes the quality of goodness must be unlimited sometimes. Or another example, when we say that Klal Yisrael were called Tovim, the Chazal say, Eina Achzoris Mitzuye Eitzel Yisrael. You do not find cruelty in Klal Yisrael. Find it amongst the nations of the world, but not amongst Klal Yisrael. Because they gave le chasodim, the rachmonim, because they are people of chesed and compassion, to do good to others, how will you find cruelty? And the Chazal say further, aye, but sometimes we see cruelty in Israel. It says no. If you see cruelty by an individual, that's a sign he's not Mizer Abraham. That's a sign he's not a real descendant of Abraham. Because Eino Achzorias Metsuyim Eitzel Yisrael. So this is why, firstly, he has to have the quality of goodness, which means to be share in the burden of his Kaverim. Otherwise he cannot identify with the quality of the Torah and he cannot acquire it. Then we said that there's a second point, and it shows that he's Tei HaKlal. He's a social being. Why must a person be a social being? And that, the Maral says consistently, because Torah was not given to an individual. Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, to all of Yisrael. And for someone to acquire it, he's got to come as a member of the Klal, of the Tzibur, not as a Yochid, not as an individual. Now, the simple meaning we understand. It was given to the whole nation. It was given b'schus Yisrael. So therefore, what is an individual schus to Torah? Because he's a part of Klal Yisrael. But there's a great depth in this also. And that is, we said before, that Torah does not come from this world. It comes from a world beyond this world, an Olam HaElyon, and there are no parameters whatsoever. It's not limited by space, by place, by time. It is for this reason that Torah cannot belong to an individual. If Torah would belong to an individual, there would be a limitation in the Torah. This is something very deep. When we started the shiur this evening, we said that the Kesher Kohuna, the crown of priesthood, belongs to certain individuals. The crown of Malchus, of kingship, belongs to certain individuals. But Torah belongs to no individuals. Even more, the Gemara tells us it does not even belong to the Bnei Talmidei Chachomim, to the sons of the Talmidei Chachomim. Why is it that many times we find, the Gemara says, that the sons of great Talmidei Chachomim are not Talmidei Chachomim? So the Gemara says, Ki ein Yerusha leTorah, because there's no inheritance to Torah. Sons of Kahanim are Kahanim. The sons of the kings could inherit the kingship. But the sons of Talmidei Chachomim do not inherit the Torah. If they become Talmidei Chachomim, they have to become Talmidei Chachomim, great in Torah, on their own, through their own. Because Ein Yerusha. And what does that mean? We always think that exclusiveness is better. It's just the opposite. Exclusiveness is a limitation in something. If something is exclusive, it means it's limited. Torah cannot be limited. It's greater than the whole world. It comes from an expanse from a world that's far greater than this world. So it cannot be limited. There can be no bias in Torah, no ownership over Torah. Because if you own it, it's yours, then it's limited. If I own it, then it's mine, it's limited. You can own a car, you can own a house, you can exercise sole rights and jurisdiction over physical property. No one can exercise sole rights and jurisdiction over Torah, because Torah is greater than everything. It is for this reason that there can't be an inheritance, because inheritance comes with sole rights and jurisdiction. And no one has the sole rights and jurisdiction, not even the father that was a Talmud Chacham. David HaMelech had sole rights and jurisdiction over the Malchus. And Aaron had sole rights and jurisdiction over the Kohuna. But Kesher Torah, Kol mi sheyirtze yovah v'yitl. Whoever wants it, let him come and take it. Hare munach, it's set before everyone. This is why the Maral explains that the Gemara says in the Medrash, why was Torah given in the Midbar, in the desert? Because just like a desert is hefker, so is Torah hefker. Doesn't mean hefker the way we think of something. Hefker we think is something that was ownerless and thrown out. No. Just like the desert is ownerless, so is Torah ownerless. No one can exercise sole rights and jurisdiction over it. It cannot be limited to that person. The physical world can belong to someone. Physical property, but not Torah. It is for this reason that the Maral brings that if no one can exercise sole rights and jurisdiction over it, so why does it belong to Israel? They are doing that. He says, no, to the contrary. We find that if a person comes from another nation and he wants to join Klal Israel and have his portion in Torah, Ger Shebor, we have to accept him. And he says, to the contrary, where do you find that an Egyptian can make himself into an Edomi? An Edomi can make himself into an Egyptian? An Indian can never become a Chinaman? Chinaman can never become an Indian? You can get political asylum, maybe political residency or citizenship, but he can't become part of that nation by essence. It's only by Israel do you find that people from other nations can become part of Israel. Only. Why? Because Torah has no limitations. Torah can't be limited, even to Klal Israel. And Torah was given to the whole world. It states that Chozer HaKadosh Baruch Hu al kol ha'umais. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to all of the nations of the world to offer them his Torah. And they wouldn't accept it. Ishmael said, no, nothing doing. He says, that's not for me. It says you can't steal. And Esau said, you can't kill. That's not for me. So only Klal Yisrael said, Nasher, we will do it. Give it to us. Torah was given to whoever would accept it. The others didn't accept it. Now if an individual from another nation comes and wants to accept it, he accepts it. The fact is that the Loshon HaRambam is a strange language in this term in the Rambam. Where the Rambam says Gerush, conversion, he doesn't bring as one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. But one of the mitzvahs of the Torah is to accept Gerim. No. He says He says, Hinchel Moshe Rabbeinu Torah Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gave Torah to Israel and to all that want to come and become part of Israel. This was in the giving of the Torah. This is who it was given to. And maybe you'll ask, then how was it possible that Moshe alone could come and take Torah down? It's called Torah's Moshe. And that, the sages say, that's something that we don't understand, but they say. They say Moshe was not an individual. Moshe was Shokul Keneged Kulam, Shokul Keneged Shishim Rabuah. There was Moshe Yisrael. Moshe was not an individual. He encompassed all of Israel, the sages tell us. This is how great Moshe Rabbeinu was. But he had to be, because he's the one who brought Torah down alone. At any rate, therefore, if a person comes and he wants to acquire Torah, and he's going at it at his own, he won't be successful. Because Torah is not the property of an individual. It's beligvul, it's without limitation. And he has limitation. So how must he acquire Torah? Not coming as an individual, but as coming as part of Yisrael. A part of those that accepted Torah at Sinai. Therefore, he has to be a person that's techa klal. He has to be a social person, a person that shares with others. And therefore, haneisei imol chaverai, haneisei ba'olim chaverai, someone who carries the burden of his chaver. This is a quality that will lead one to the acquisition of Torah. So these are two of the midas, two of the qualities, the 37th and the 38th, of the 48 attributes that one needs to acquire Torah. We should all be zeicher to a chag Shavuot Sameach and to the light of the Torah which was given to Klal Yisrael. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.